Well, praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but it's off to a good start in here already. Praise the Lord. We're already, maybe it's because you're all closer to me. Amen. I feel a little more, I really like this. Praise God. Hallelujah. I really like this. I believe that, I believe that, we take out the trampoline floor, but the guitar is still there. Praise the Lord. But we know, you know, how many times I've stood in front of people and done something that, you know, you have that moment. Now, you didn't leave because he was embarrassed or anything like that. But, like, you know, you have a moment like that. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. One of the things that I've learned as a pastor is that you just flow with the moments. You flow with all that happens and go with it. Glory to God. Because it's not the perfect actions. You know, I always say this about weddings. Every wedding that I've ever seen that's been overplanned have been the worst weddings that I've ever been to. And the ones that are the least planned, the ones where people are just happy to be married, man, I'll just tell you, they always go so good. And so we kind of look at church the same way. We're not going to overplan it. We're just going to go with the Holy Ghost. We're going to follow the Lord and believe him for all the good things he has for us. Amen. And we, you know, praise God, hallelujah. I just believe, you know, today's message we're talking about, today's message is called Holy Spirit Power. I'm excited about the message. I'm excited about what God has for us in it. But we're going to be learning about the Holy Spirit and his interaction with our lives. Amen. And we're going to start here. I don't know if we'll continue here next week or what. I'm just going to follow the Lord on that. But, you know, as I was just praying there, you know, the Lord reminded me that this very floor happened as a result of the leading of the Holy Spirit. And what it was is one day I was in here not too long ago. It was maybe about a month ago. I was walking in through here, and I always shared this with you, but I'll share it again. But as I was walking through the sanctuary, I decided to walk through without the lights on because, you know, I mean, I would have had to turn all the way to the left to turn the lights on. So I didn't want to do that as I walked through. So I just walked through the sanctuary, and I got up here towards the front, and man, I almost went through the ceiling, praise the Lord. And there was that hump in the floor had gotten bigger, and I just was frustrated by it. You ever get frustrated in life? You ever get frustrated with just things in your day or whatever? And I just remember saying, I was like, Lord, it ain't right that your sanctuary is like this. It's just not right. And then I heard my spirit very clearly as I'm talking to you now, I heard in my spirit, so do something about it. Woo, glory to God. Got my correction. See, I was waiting on him. He's waiting on me. Amen. And so I said, well, we just got to do it. And we put up with that for about 6 years now, or no, 4 years, 5 years, 5 years, 4.5, 5 years. We put up with it for quite a few years now. And, you know, sometimes we'll do that. Sometimes in life we'll put up with things a lot longer than we should. But we know that the leading of the Holy Spirit is so incredibly important to the believer, praise the Lord. Actually, as I was in the shower this morning, I was praying as I was showering, praise the Lord. I was cleaning my outsides and my insides, hallelujah. And as I was cleaning my insides spiritually, you know what I mean? Like, praise God, it wouldn't get weird or anything, but I take normal showers, amen. But I was taking a shower and I was praying in the spirit, and all of a sudden I heard this in my spirit. I heard the Holy Spirit is a game changer in the life of a believer. It's a game changer He's a game changer, amen. Praise the Lord. And really, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is really what separates us from the Old Testament Christians. When you read in the Old Testament, the thing that's really different about the New Testament, I mean, of course, Jesus came and we know that he paid for salvation, but I'm talking about as we operate on the earth, as we live on the earth, you know, Jesus provided the path for the Holy Spirit to come on the inside of us. Amen. And so this is really what separates us. But by and large, the Holy Spirit, I think, is really underlooked, underappreciated, under-embraced. Sometimes he's over-embraced. In other words, sometimes there's people that go too far with it and everything is uber-spiritual. That's not God either. But we learn this, and this is the thing that I've learned. Number one, the Holy Spirit, one of the greatest things that he will do is make you stable. Amen. He will stabilize your life. So if your life is out of balance, if your life is wonky, if your life is going in a bunch of different directions, part of the job of the Holy Spirit is to stabilize us. And so that's a wonderful thing. And you see that in Christians who really embrace the truth of the word, is that their lives become stable. My life is one of the greatest testimonies to this that I know. You know, I was thinking about this week. I was meditating. I was kind of thinking about my testimony and what the Lord has done in me. And I even said to my wife, I said, you know, I said, wouldn't you say that the change that has happened in my life is as much of a miracle as raising of the dead? Because essentially, that's what it was. My life was dead. My life was in a direction that wasn't any good. My life was wholly ineffective. And that change in my life can only be attributed to one thing, and that's the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God. Amen. And so we understand how all these things work together, or that all these things work together. We need to understand how they all work together. Amen. But the Holy Spirit is in us, leading us and guiding us. And it doesn't matter if you're specifically, as we would call, quote unquote, spirit-filled or not. If you have accepted Jesus, you have received the Holy Spirit. Now, there is another part of receiving the Holy Spirit that is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And that is also a very important part of a Christian life. It does not mean that you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues to be saved. You can still get to heaven without that specific baptism. But we know that that is a separate thing. It's a different thing. And I'm not so much preaching on that today as I am talking about the more like the inward witness and the leading of the Spirit, amen, and connecting to that. But this is really where the Holy Spirit's power is. The Holy Spirit's power is not, you know, we hear a lot about that in circles like ours, but it's not so much necessarily an outside force. I mean, we do know, you know, there's examples in the Bible where God has showed up and there's been a great and mighty wind, a rushing wind, and that stuff can and will happen. I mean, I was standing right here in about this spot. It was one Tuesday, I think it was a Tuesday night, many, many moons ago, early on the first Tuesday nights, one of the first ones we were having here, and I was ministering to people by laying on of hands, which is also in the Word and is also very scriptural, amen. Every church should be doing it. If they're not, they're missing half their life, amen. Doesn't mean they're not going to heaven. It just means they're missing half their life, amen. But so we know the laying on of hands is important, but as I was standing here, there was a presence that came before me, and I didn't know what it was. I realized later on, I believe with all my heart that it was an angel that stood before me. I should say it was something spiritual. I didn't get the exact knowledge of what it was, whether it was the Lord or whether it was an angel, I don't know. But what I did, one of the things that I had learned to do, I asked why they were here. And in that moment, it was as if somebody had laid hands on me and I started to fall out into the Spirit. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit will come upon us, amen, and we should expect those things. But we cannot live by those things, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I just had, I hope you won't mind if I share just a little bit real quick, but my sister Sue said she had been desiring that personal manifestation for a while and of the Holy Spirit. She hadn't felt that herself, and she was on her phone outside of her car after church, right? It was after church service, and she was going home, and she fell out in the road. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, fortunately, she didn't fall into the road, but she fell out in the road, and she was on the side of the road for, you know, 4 or 5 hours. I don't know how long it was. Praise the Lord. Maybe not that long, but she was talking to somebody, but the Lord will invade us when we least expect it sometimes. Amen? But the key is being hungry. The key is desiring. The key is wanting that more and more. Amen. And not just wanting. We can't just want manifestations of the Spirit, but we want the presence of God. We want to know God. We want to be where God is, and we want God to be where we are. Amen. And we see this as I've gone through the Scripture, and I just, you know, even this week, yesterday, I got studying some things. I had both of my messages, actually all three messages, pretty much planned out, you know, for this weekend and for Tuesday. Earlier, sometime in the week, the Lord delivered them to me. And, yesterday I was spending some time just just reading the word, seeking God on some other things. And there were some pretty amazing things that he was showing me. But, you know, joy and peace and excitement in the spirit, these are all things that follow in the presence of God. Amen. And when we're doing his work. And so the Holy Spirit power is something that we are getting into. It is what separates us really from Old Testament believers, that it is indwelling, meaning that it is on the inside of us. Amen. And that we carry it with us wherever we go. The wonderful thing about this is that we have the very power of God wherever we are. Doesn't matter where we're at. You know, maybe to you, the terms even falling out in the spirit may be weird and you've never heard of that before. Well, there's plenty of that in scripture as well. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus, a great light shone, the Lord appeared before him and he fell to the ground as though he were dead. We also see that when angels appeared to different people throughout scripture, that they would fall to the ground as though they were dead. And that's exactly what it's talking about, falling out in the spirit. Peter fell in the book of Acts. Where it tells us about Peter going into a trance and other things. We actually are told about one disciple that was translated. In other words, he was in one place and the Holy Spirit picked him up and took him somewhere else. Amen. And so in one second, he's one place like Mayville. And the next second, he's somewhere else like Erie, like there's no transition time. And so this is the same God that was the God then. He's the same God today. It's the same God we serve. Why don't we see these things? A lot of times it's because people have lost the trust. They've lost their belief in them. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about the Santa Claus belief meter like an elf, you know, that you have to believe a certain amount for the power of God to be active, because the power of God is always around us. But belief does tap into it. Amen. Belief, trust in the Lord is what we use to tap into the things of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to start over here in Luke 3. Now, I got as far as Luke. I was getting in the Gospels, and I was looking at the time, the spot in the Gospels. I didn't get to John, so I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know what John says about it. But I looked through all the Gospels where it was talking about where John was, John the Baptist was talking about what his role was. Amen. And so I got to Luke's, and Luke's version is the one that seemed to be the one to read, and we're going to get into why here in just a second. But Luke, so we're looking at Luke 3:16. Hallelujah, glory to God. It says here that John answered, saying to all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Glory to God. You know, so often we see that, you know, if we read through the book of Luke often, you'll see that. And the question is, what is the Holy Spirit and fire? That the Lord was going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. There's two things there, amen? And that's important to note. We're going to get into that a little bit. Praise the Lord. Verse 17, it goes on, and this is part of why, because it explains a little bit more, and I thought this was important. It says, "His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. The chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And so here we see a reference to the Holy Spirit and fire, and then he goes immediately into this idea of the winnowing fan. And I don't know about you, but I didn't know what a winnowing fan is. It's not something I've run across very often. I haven't seen one in an antique store yet, and I certainly have never used one. But a winnowing fan was it's a tool that they would take the wheat after the wheat has been stomped or trampled or however they do it, ground or with the oxen. And then they take the winnowing fan and they basically throw it into the air and the wind comes through and it blows away the chaff or the unusable part of the wheat. And all that is left is the usable part of the wheat. And that was a way that they used to sift it. Of course, now we have, I'm sure they have machines that do such a thing, but it used to have to be done by hand. But you notice this is in connection with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit so often is also referenced. There's examples are used of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. There's things that talk about the Holy Spirit, comparing him to water and air and fire. And we see all these things often, and it's not without or not by accident that they are used. Amen. But what the Lord's desire was to take these people that were wholly unusable, because that's really what humans were, is they were unusable, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he was going to change them. He was going to separate the wheat from the chaff. Now, there's many levels that this can be, many examples that this can be used. First of all, there's people that are chaff. In other words, there are some people that are going to be usable and some people that will never be usable. Some people that will just be, they will just be a hindrance to the usable parts of the wheat. And so that's part of what the separation is. The Bible also talks about it, separating the sheep from the goats. Amen. But going further, it also means what I've seen in it too is also the understanding that the wheat and the chaff are the good parts of our lives versus the bad parts of our lives, the things in us which hinder us versus the things in us which help us go forward into the plan of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And notice that he's going to gather the wheat into his barn, so he's going to keep it close. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now, part of the fire of the Holy Ghost is just that, is to burn out that stuff of our life that is not good, that is not usable, that hinders us, that keeps us from going forward. You know, this appears in human lives so many times. We see this in, you know, everything from drug addicts to other kind of addicts, that those things hinder them. And one of the things that I've learned as a Christian is that when I do something, when I start to do something that I know that I shouldn't be doing, I start feeling a fire in my belly. Have you ever felt that? If you start feeling that burning sensation, like, ugh, something, I'm not talking heartburn. I'm not talking a little bit of gas because you ate tacos or jalapenos or something like that. I'm talking about you're doing something you know you shouldn't be doing, and all of a sudden you're just like, ugh. And almost, like with me, it actually, man, I don't know with everybody, but with me, it always would manifest as a burning sensation. Amen. And what is that? That's the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, teaching us and guiding us, showing us what to stay away from. The problem is when people, they ignore that burning, they ignore that fire, and what they do is essentially they set aside and they pass judgment on themselves. Now, I'm going to share something with you. I want to show you a scripture. I wasn't planning on going to, but the Lord led me to it. It's in Acts. I think I actually brought it up last night, didn't I? No, I brought up a different one in the same area. But this is a different scripture than I was going to there. Praise God. So we're going to go to Acts. Go to chapter 13. Let's see if I make this connection for you. Because I saw this and I thought it was pretty interesting. Oh, and let's see. It's around here. Okay, verse 46. So Acts 13 and verse 46. Now, this is when Paul and Barnabas were ministering. They were going around ministering, and they were having great opposition to their ministering. And it says here, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, speaking to the Jews, because the Jews were to receive the word of God first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, I want to bring your focus to that place where it says, since you reject it and judge yourselves. I have that highlighted in my Bible. You should do that as well. When you reject the word, when you reject the truth, or when you reject the Holy Spirit always, you know, the Bible says that the word of God is spirit and truth. Praise the Lord. And so we know that that the word of God is spirit, and we know that the Holy Spirit leads according to the word and only according to the word. When you reject the word or when you reject the spirit, you judge yourselves. Now here they were judging themselves unworthy of salvation. they were saying that it doesn't, they were rejecting the salvation. And so they passed judgment on themselves. God wasn't passing judgment on it. Their own decisions judged them. Now, I want you to really listen to this and really hear this, because this is a really important part of the life of a believer. That when we reject truth, we bring judgment upon ourselves. We judge ourselves. So if we reject the truth, if we say, you know, if I present to you the word and you say, well, I don't like that, I don't want to go there, I don't want to do that, what you're doing is you're bringing judgment in that area upon yourself. It doesn't mean that you won't receive salvation, but necessarily, but what it does mean is that you reject that area of God, the power of God, from working in your life. Praise the Lord. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to be people that hear the word, see the word, and then it has no effect on us because we reject it. We have to embrace the word of God as truth. Amen. And so I saw this, and again, I was studying some other things out, and I just happened to get there by accident. But when I saw that, man, my spirit lit off and said, well, we've got to highlight this. I didn't really have thought that I was going to bring it up in service, but the Lord has been reminding me of it throughout the last day. And so it's really interesting here. So we want to be sure that we don't reject the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to lead us in directions, in places that will be beneficial and helpful in our lives. Last night, I gave the testimony of how I came to the place of pastoring through the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that was, and I was preaching a different message, but that was a really interesting thing. And I just think, you know, even as I heard myself speaking, I'm like, man, sometimes I think I need to speak about it more. But how the Lord dealt with me. He dealt with me in the same place very often and several different times over the course of years. But you know, this is the thing about the leading of the Holy Spirit. He isn't going to give you it all at once. And what he gives you, if you're not faithful with it, he ain't going to give you more. And so if you're not faithful with what you get, he's not giving you more. So you got to be faithful with what you first get. And see, a lot of people, they want to step into the power of God. Man, I want to lay hands on people and raise the dead. That sounds pretty awesome. I don't think there's a preacher out there that wouldn't want to lay hands on the dead and have them come back to life. But they first have to be faithful with the small things before they ever get there. And the same thing goes with you. The raising of the dead was not just given to ministers. It was given the ability, the power to do so, was given to the believer. The Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. And they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. How about laying hands on the sick and making sure that they recover? You know, there's a lot of things in this, and of course there's steps that we must take, but it all stems from leading of the Holy Spirit. We have to understand God's power is not like a stick of dynamite which you light, throw into a cave and blow something up. God's power isn't like that at all. God's power works from within, and it works slowly. It works incrementally. There's steps to be taken to do it. And as we get more effective at following the Holy Spirit, our lives become more effective. This is precisely what happened in my life. The reason my life changed is not because I was given some great influx of instant power where all of a sudden I could just do things better, but I was given bits and pieces, and I took hold of those bits. Sometimes I didn't take hold of the bits, and I had to go around that mountain again and get the bits again, you know what I mean? But I'm not saying I did it perfectly, but the change in my life is attributed to the Spirit working things out of me, working things into me, and this is the power of God. Now, when we think about the power of God, we always think about, like I said, laying on of hands. We think about, man, you get hands laid on you, and boom, the power of God hits you, and you fall on the floor. That is the power of God, but those things don't happen until the other things happen first, and so we understand that there is a building process, amen, in getting there, which we are all capable of entering into. In fact, we should be entering into it as a local body, as the church. We should be increasing in the power of God and seeing the power of God flow increasingly in our lives, amen? And this is why we come together. Glory to God. John 16:7, I want to bring this up to you. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is your advantage I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, we know this about the disciples, that when Jesus was here and he was preaching to his disciples, and they received him, they received salvation. That was their acceptance of that salvation, right? And we understand that. But Jesus was saying here, he's essentially teaching us that Christians, even though Christ was here, even though God was present on the earth, Christians still were not perfected. Excuse me, there was a perfecting that still needed to happen, that there was something more. And he said, if I don't go, the helper won't come. Why that is, I'm not exactly sure right off the moment. Maybe if I studied it out, I would get there, I'm sure. But it doesn't matter why. The only thing that matters is that that's the truth. And so when we know the truth, we have to accept it. We have to realize that. Again, I would dare question, if you've been to a church, maybe if you were raised in a church, specifically denominational churches. Now, I'm not coming against denominational churches saying they're worthless and that they're no good and all those things, but I'm trying to bring up a point to you. If you were raised in that kind of thing, you know, my wife was not raised in any kind of religion, so this wouldn't apply to her. And if you weren't, this probably wouldn't apply to you. But if you had been raised in a denominational church, one of the things I can guarantee, unless it was a Pentecostal church, you probably, or charismatic church, you probably heard very, very little about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go, so he comes. Well, if it's to our advantage that Jesus would go, see, everybody always spends this time thinking, man, if Jesus was only here today, if Jesus was only here right now, you know, and people even say that, if Jesus was here right now, you'd act different or something like that. But that's not even, that wasn't even the big thing. That was part of the big thing. But the end of the big thing was the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling on the inside of believers. He is here today. Praise the Lord. And so we understand that it's important that he goes. Jesus said, it's better that I go away because there's something better I'm sending to you. Yeah. Amen. Why do you suppose that is? It's because of this. Jesus came in the form of a man. He came to show us how to live. He came to show us and tell us and teach us the way, show us the way. And he came to tell us about the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, being a man, couldn't come and live on the inside of you. Why? Because anything that's on the inside of you that isn't naturally there tries to get out, right? Just ask a woman who's pregnant. That baby eventually is going to come out. One thing you can guarantee about a pregnant woman is no matter how pregnant they are, eventually that baby's coming out. It's got to, right? A full-grown man can't reside inside a human. And Jesus knew this. So he came to be present, to show us, to give us understanding, and to pay the price, be the blood sacrifice. But he said, there's more to this story than just me coming. The unfortunate thing is, so many churches stop at Jesus coming and dying. They don't go on to the rest of the, I mean, if you split up human history according to Scripture, you have approximately 6,000 years. I am not saying that is the history of the whole earth. I don't believe that. I believe the earth has been around much longer than that. But human history, actual humans like you and I, have been here about 6,000 years. And according to Scripture, that's so as well. Now, if you break up that 6,000 years, there is about three-thirds of a separation. The first two-thirds were before Jesus came, which was about 4,000 years. The last 2,000 years is the last third. We know that we're in the end days, or if you don't, you should know that we're in the end days, and if you don't believe it, well, I'm telling you, you are in the end days. But the last third is upon us. Now, whether it's another 50 years, I can't say that for sure. It could be a little bit longer. It could be out of my lifespan, but I doubt it, but it could be. But the point that I'm trying to make is one-third of biblical human history has been with the Holy Spirit on the earth, and yet one-third of biblical human history almost completely flat-out denies the use or the power or the interaction of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Think about all the churches teach or preachers teach and all this stuff, and they talk about the Holy Spirit in some context, but there's very little that's given about him. In fact, oftentimes the only ones who do talk about him wrong even then. And so we want to find balance in these things, amen. We gotta find the truth in these things. Amen. And so this is something very important for us to see. Jesus was very clear here that the helper was imperative to our lives and our walk. Christians, we have to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we're looking at power, sometimes we're looking at, I want big booming power. You know, on the way home from Corey last night, they had fireworks for us. I don't know if you knew that. But in Clymer, somebody decided to have fireworks. And we just felt it was for us, amen, because it was for our ride home to entertain us on our drive, amen. And, who knows, maybe it was, I don't know. But when we see fireworks, you think of power. You hear the boom. You can hear the boom from miles away. And it's something that's, you know, it draws people in and the light and all that stuff. And we pulled over on the side of a cemetery to watch. They ended the fireworks just as we pulled over. Apparently, they didn't know we were late to the show, but whatever. They should have bought more, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe they stopped because they thought we were the police or something. I don't know. But, you know, people are looking for big, booming power. And power is not, I'm not negating that power. But we have to be able to start, one of the things that we have to start doing is being able to see God, the move of God, the power of God in the small things. We look at God to change a whole situation in our life. And when it doesn't change instantly, where's the power of God then? Why isn't it changing? Why isn't my life just better now? Well, you spent the last 20 years screwing it up. You want God to change it overnight? You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is how we live. Listen, we're all in this boat. We're all there. You know what I mean? We all do this. We all like, well, I ignored God and ignored him and ignored him. And then finally, all of a sudden, when I need him, I call on him. I've already judged myself unfit to receive. And so what God wants us to do is he wants us to start, we need to start recognizing the power of God in the small areas of our life. We need to understand that God is working in us even when we don't see it, especially when we don't see it. Amen. Glory to God. I was going to wait to get into this, but I'm going to tell you right now. One of the things that the Holy Spirit will often lead you into is a place of challenge. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. We talk about the Lord setting us free, and he does. We talk about the Lord blessing us, and he does. We talk about the Lord doing great and wonderful things in our lives, and he does. But I am going to tell you right now, as a matter of fact, that every one of those things almost always comes on the back of challenge. And how you go through the challenge, how you come out on the other side of the challenge, will determine how and when you receive what God has for you. It does not happen overnight, and it will not happen overnight. One thing I have learned about God is he does not work overnight in my life. He takes his time, and I don't always like that because I'm human, and I don't like to wait, and I want what I want now. I don't want to wait for it, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. God will lead you into a place of challenge. He will lead you around people that will challenge you, and when I mean challenge, you know, my pastor always said this. His pastor always said this. He said, God will test you by the weakness of your leaders. Guess what? God will test you by the weaknesses of your leaders. He ain't going to test you by their strengths. You'll love their strengths. When you see your pastor's strengths or the apostle's strengths, or when you see the strengths of leadership around you, oh, you'll get excited about it. But where you're going to get tested is in their weaknesses, the areas where they fail, the areas they come short. Because guess what? All humans fall short in some area. You will, I will, everybody will. You can't stop that. But God is going to challenge you in those areas. He will put you with people that aren't easy. And not just leadership, but maybe the people in the seats. Maybe you look at your neighbor and you think, man, that person ain't easy to sit next to. But guess what? God put you there. And he put you there to teach you something, to take you through something. Maybe he'll lead you to a situation where that situation, it just seems like, man, this is just rubbing everything in me the wrong way. This is petting my cat backwards. This is plowing my field sideways. This is getting everything upended and torn up. And yes, God's doing that on purpose. God will allow those things. We have to learn the difference between something that is challenging to us, or we have to learn the difference between opposition and failure. There is a difference between opposition and failure. What is the difference between opposition and failure? Well, my wife and I, this summer for my birthday, she decided to take me on a little trip. I always wanted to ride my four-wheeler on trails, you know, be able to go just trail riding, and she took me on this trip. We went trail riding. And we went down, way down into PA, where they let you go take your four-wheeler out. And we were way out in the woods, up on the mountain and all this stuff, and we're riding through. Praise God. And we're going through, and you know, my wife doesn't like to get real muddy and stuff. She was just doing it to bless me. But as we were going, I kind of pull up next to this puddle, and I look at it, and she's telling me, you can go ahead and go through it if you want to. Is that how it happened? The one we got. Talking. Oh, that. Yeah, the other one we went through. Yeah, and then it emboldened me, right? So we went through one puddle. We got through it. She told me I could go through it. And then we got to the next one. See, you're my helper. Thank you. We got to the next one, and I'm emboldened by the first one. I think, oh, I can go through this too. Guess what? We didn't go through it. Not at first. We ended up getting through it. I had to get her on the back of the, she was perched on the back of the four-wheeler, you know, doing one of these to get us out. But we eventually did get out of it. But what was that mud? Was that mud a failure of the four-wheeler running? No, it was opposition. It was holding us back. It was trying to keep us from going through to the other side. But I couldn't have called up Articat, right? I don't know. Yeah, Articat. I couldn't have called up Articat and said, your four-wheeler doesn't work. It broke on me. No, it didn't break. I just got into mud too deep for it. Amen? And so we have to understand that in our lives. Sometimes when we're facing a trial, we have to look at that trial and say, is this real deep mud that I'm in too far or that's holding me back, trying to keep me from going forward? Or is this a failure? Did I miss God? And how you can know that is real easy. If you're submitted, I stay submitted. I keep things before my pastor and his pastor. And when I say that, I don't mean I don't call him up every time I need something in life and go, Pastor, what do I do about this? What do I do about this? That's not what I'm talking about. But when I make major decisions in my life, I always submit them to people that are more spiritual than me. Why do I do that? Because I want to make sure that I get to the other side. I want to make sure that when the heat gets turned on or when the mud gets real thick, that I know it's just opposition, that it's not a failure of the machinery. Amen. And so that's the same way with us. We need to understand these things. We need to understand the power of the Holy Ghost will get you through to the other side. It is, and he'll do it through many ways. Sometimes it'll be through the laying on of hands, and you get hands laid on you, and something will get broken off of you. Do you know one thing I've learned is that my pastor and my relationship has developed differently over the years and has grown into something quite a bit better than what it was even. It's quite a bit different than what it is. And that what a lot of people, what it was, and what a lot of people get to experience. But just faithfulness and serving and all this stuff has opened these doors for it to happen. But one of the things that I've recognized is that if I'm going through something so often just by being around my pastor, and not just because he's my pastor, but because I'm connected to him. Because I've said, you know, Lord, this is the one you've placed in my life to help me. And so I know that this is that you've put me here, even when it's hard, even when it's challenging. I'm going to be honest with you. I agree with my pastor on a lot of things. Him and I, we even personally, we have a lot of the same joys in life and desires and stuff like that. But there are times when I'm challenged by him. And what I mean challenged by him is like maybe it's a personality issue. And I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm just saying it's there. See, so often we want to go looking for fault. We want to, instead of just realizing that it's something that's there. You know, the Lord can, the Lord, of course, will use our pastors, but the devil can use weaknesses of anybody to hinder us from going forward. You know, I've talked about that so many times. There's so many times that people walk away from the faith because of what somebody did. How foolish is that? To leave God because of what someone else did. Listen, if somebody has abused you and done bad things in life and all that stuff, that's horrible. Shouldn't happen. But why would that make you turn away from the one that can help you? That's a lie of the devil. See, we don't accept abuse. We don't embrace abuse. But at the same time, you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a saying that's pretty popular, and we all know it. But when you think about it in actuality, it's crazy, right? To think, well, I just washed this baby. And think about this. I just washed this baby in this tub of water, throw it all out the window. It's crazy. It's nuts. But that's what people do with God all the time. They say, well, somebody failed me. A church failed me, so I'm going to quit church. Well, if God put church in your life to bless you, well, you just go find a better church. You know what I mean? Or something. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. So we see that Christians were not perfected, but the Holy Spirit coming in was going to perfect them. Turn with me to Romans 8:11. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love the power of the Holy Ghost. Look at this. Look what the Bible says. Amen. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now that word life means to cause to live, make alive, give life by spiritual power, to arouse and invigorate, to restore to life, to give increase of life, of the Spirit, endued with new and greater powers of life. The power to live godly is found in our ability to be led by the Holy Spirit. See, so many people, like we talk about all these different things, and you know, I know there's a lot of programs out there that are trying to help like drug addicts and stuff like that, and I'm not saying that they're bad, because they're not. But we were presented with one, and we were reading a little bit of the some of the things that they teach them, and I'm like, we couldn't tell people to follow that. Not that the program itself is bad. If somebody needs it, I'm not saying that. So don't say that. But I'm saying that what would be better is for the church to start teaching the truth to these people and get the truth in them, because it's the truth that'll help them. Because the truth, they start saying, like, I know that some of these things are popular, but you know, asking God to stop these things in their life. But God won't do that. The Holy Spirit will enable you to do that. But it's going to be through the work of the Holy Spirit and your desire and your intent to do so. You cannot, like, God isn't just going to stop you from sinning. And that's what those things are. Addictions and stuff like that, however you want to cut it, they're horrible. They're it's terrible. But what they are is it's a form of sin. That's why they work so bad or so well on human flesh, because sin is, its whole goal is to cause death. And see, we hear the word sin so often and we think that we just point at people and say, oh, you're sinning, you're a sinner, and stuff like that. That's not what we're saying. But that doesn't change the fact of what sin is. Sin is these things. The Bible tells us what sin is. And the Bible also tells us what sin does. Sin causes death in human flesh. That's why human flesh dies, because of sin. Again, it doesn't mean that if a baby that dies, did that baby sin specifically to die? No, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that sin working in the flesh causes death. Are there ways to thwart it? Are there ways to stop it? Well, of course there is. There is ways. But we have to be acquainted with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, in order to ever do that. We can't be people that are afraid of this Holy Spirit stuff, the spiritual stuff, because it is the difference. You know, I've sat with many different drug users or even parents of drug users and stuff like that, and I'm always faced with the same thing whenever I sit with them. When I sit down with them, I hear the story, I hear the impossibilities, I hear the struggles, I hear all these things, and I know the same thing every single time it comes to me. In the flesh, you can do nothing. You can't guarantee anything. I know, and I tell them all the same thing. I always get to the place where I get bold, and I say, I know one thing that helps. One. So if you're coming to me for help, I can tell you one thing that helps. If you'll listen, if you'll follow it, it will help. If you don't, it won't. There's one thing that helps. Don't come to me seeking other kinds of programs or other kinds of ideas. I know one way. That's getting born again, getting the Holy Spirit working on the inside of you, and his power changing your life. He's the one that gave me the power to overcome. And when I struggle, he's the one who gives me the power to overcome. You understand that the struggle doesn't necessarily, as long as you're in human flesh, you're going to struggle with something. And if you've had an area of weakness in your life, and you know the areas of weakness in your life, they're the things that keep you from getting closer to God. Right? Or the things that cause problems in your relationships or your friendships or whatever. Those things are all struggles in our lives. We're all going to have struggles. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to step out beyond them. It's the Holy Spirit that gives me the power to be able to get into the pulpit every single time, even though I haven't been perfect, even though I don't know everything. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to witness to people on the street that we are afraid to even approach. But we have to embrace this. The first step, the very first step of being led by the Holy Spirit is recognizing the job of the Holy Spirit. It's recognizing that he has a desire to lead you. Amen? And we might think that that's not a big step, but that's a huge step. Just being able for a Christian, the whole difference in my life was realizing that there's a Holy Spirit that wants to lead me and guide me into the plan of God. And then being willing to say, Lord, I will submit to that. I'll submit to you. I'll submit to your direction in your plan. Amen? Praise the Lord. John 16, 12, and 13, we know these scriptures, but here they are again. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. I cannot stress the part about guiding. He will guide you into all truth. Listen, there is a lot about your life that you still need to know. I don't care if you got, I look around, we have some on the top upper end of our age spectrum. We have a few in here, praise the Lord. Thank God for you, made it this far, glory to God. God's got more for you still. But even if you are in your 90s, even if you're in your hundreds, God still has more to tell you about your life. There's still more direction. There's still more guiding. There's still more power. There's still more for you to get into. The problem is, you know, it's so funny. The world talks about retirement. And I get a kick out of retirement because one thing I know about my life is I don't get to retire. That this doesn't stop for me. Pastors that retire are pastors that don't have revelation of what they're called to do. I'm not saying it won't transition. I'm not saying it won't be something else. But I'm not going to just go sit on some beach somewhere. I don't get that opportunity. I'm not, my wife and I, we love the idea of hopping in an RV and going across the country for 2 months. I know that as long as I live, that probably will never happen. Why will that never happen? Because I have a work to do. I've got things I'm called to. I'm going to have to trust God that there's RVs in heaven because that's the only shot that I have. Amen? Praise the Lord. Retirement is not an option for a Christian. You don't get to retire out of your faith. And Christians who do are Christians that have miserable ends to their lives. I'm not saying that all people that have a miserable, you know, you have people that go through things or just were bad Christians or something like that. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that Christians that retire just from Christian life, you know, that they don't think that there's more for them to do. Of course there's more for you to do. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you do all the same things. Amen. Just, you know, when you're 80 or, well, maybe you will be when you're 80 or 90. When you're 80 or 90, you probably won't be laying carpet squares. But then again, there's a Christian that helped us lay the carpet up in the storefront. It was a carpet layer. And he was what? At least in his late 70s, 80s, something like that. Praise the Lord. And he's still laying carpet. So maybe you will be. I don't know. But the point is that, and we're going to get into some of that on Tuesday. Glory to God. But there's a lot about your life you need to still know. Amen? Of course. We have to understand that sometimes the Lord, the Holy Spirit, oftentimes, he's going to lead us to a place that challenges us. If you're going to go higher in God, listen to me, if you're going to stay where you're at and just kind of coast and just kind of go in the direction that you've always gone, then you don't have to worry about it. God isn't going to challenge you. The Holy Spirit isn't going to challenge you. But if you want to go into a higher level of God, you're going to be put in situations, you're going to be put in places that will challenge everything that you know, that will challenge everything in your flesh. As a pastor, I've gone through that this year. I thought I had been through all the challenge. I thought I had gotten to that place where, not to that place of arrival, but I thought that I got to the place where I knew my faith and I was good. And I'm going to tell you that this last year has challenged me more than anything has ever challenged me in my entire life. There was more times in this last year where I said, I didn't just say I want to quit, I said I quit. I give up, I'm all done. But I haven't quit, I haven't given up, and I'm all done. I was just being mouthy. Okay? It's not good to be mouthy, praise the Lord, but I was being a little bit mouthy. But here's the truth. I'm always reminded of the same thing. If I quit, give up, or I'm done. You know what's funny about this? The devil will try to help you. You know, when you want to quit, you'll be in a challenging place and you're not sure what to do and you're ready to give up on everything. And then you start going through this process. You start going on trying to figure out how you can stay blessed and not follow God. It's a lie from the pit of hell. But that's exactly what it is. Like, well, we could travel. Maybe we could just like give things to people or be good to people. And we could preach the gospel here and there and do that. No, you can't do that. You can't quit and be blessed by God. The only way you're going to get into the blessing is to go through the fire, the Holy Spirit and fire. He's going to light a fire on the inside of you. He's going to burn off the chaff. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't think you have chaff, oh boy, he's stoking the fire, getting ready for you right now. Praise the Lord. Because when you get to the place where you think you have no more chaff, well, praise God, hallelujah. I'm just telling you, I'm not so foolish as to ever think I don't have chaff anymore. Remember, chaff is the unusable, it's the husks, it's the things you spit out, the things that blow away in the wind, the things that, you know, are worthless to anything. Oh, we got a lot of that in us. Amen. We do, praise the Lord. But the Holy Spirit and fire is going to burn that out. The power of the Holy Ghost coming upon us, if we allow him to, will take us. Now, see, this is the connection between the actual power. You know, people like, they read about revivals and they see where you know, there was people in the town that saw fire coming out of the church building. That's awesome. But that doesn't happen until the chaff is gone. Praise the Lord. And maybe it's the fire of the chaff that's calling the people in. You know, people talk about the Azusa Street revival. I think it was in a bus station blocks away, and everybody who were believers or not just fell out in the spirit in the bus station. They didn't even know why they were falling out. All of a sudden, everybody's laying on the ground. That power doesn't come until the power has changed the life, until the power has changed people, until people have gotten serious about the things of God. Amen? And so that's why we're talking about it. And praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts 1. I'm not going to say we're not going to get there, but I ain't going to promise you either. Acts 1. Praise God. Hallelujah. But one thing we know is this. If we don't get it all today, we have some other times to do it. Amen? So again, we're focusing on the power of the Holy Spirit, the importance of the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Acts 1:4. I want to just tell you something. Praise God, hallelujah. Maybe I'll say that for Tuesday. Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Okay? So now we hear Jesus talking about the promise. And then down in verse 8, what's he say? He says, and they thought it was going to be something different, right? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. So we see the very power of God, the purpose of the power of God was to make us witnesses, was to make people witnesses. Amen? But see, so many times we look at the word power again and we get distracted because we hear power. You know, when you have a power button on your remote control, right? If you have a remote control for your TV, I think everybody in here probably has a TV, and if you don't, you at least know what one is, right? But you all know that when you lift up that remote control, you don't tell the kids to get back. Okay, kids, get back. We're gonna turn the power on to the TV now, right? You don't do that, right? You're not worried about everybody in the room. You just point it there. Now, when you go to push it, you don't close your eyes thinking that there's lightning bolts going to come flying out of the end of that remote, do you? But what does that power do? That power does exactly what it's meant to do. See, the power is the ability to do something. The power is the ability to do something that you couldn't do before. Before the remote control, you couldn't sit on your couch having the TV across the room and turn the power on without a long stick, right? You couldn't do it. Maybe you could try to throw something at it, but the button would have to be big. And if you grew up in my day, we saw the TVs where you had to pull out the plunger. Remember those? And the dials, you do the dials. I love those dials. We used to get yelled at all the time for doing that. I don't know why, because if you find any one of those in a junk store, they still have the spin on them. And you know that for years people were doing it, but the parents thought they were going to get wore out or something. But yeah, they had the plunger. The big. But now we have the remote controls. So we have to understand that we don't get distracted by the power. Yes, there is power of God. The power of God is the very power that raised Jesus from the dead, and there was earthquakes, and people came out of the grave. That's the power of God. But the power of God is also, you know what? I just made the right decision because I didn't know what to do before, and now I knew what to do. I just made that's no less the power of God. And that's no less the Holy Spirit. And so we have to embrace the power of God in all forms. Amen. And but he was saying that that power was not in Christianity yet. Amen. You shall receive power. Another thing that because we're not tarrying, we're not waiting for the incoming of the Holy Spirit. He's already here. So the truth of the matter is, if you receive Jesus, you've already received power. Now, prayer and the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that helps you hone in on that power, but that is not that power itself. It helps you build your faith. It helps you hone in on using that power. And so it's an important aspect, but it's not what we're teaching today. Amen? So you already have the power. Potential power is all around you, but you have to tap into it. Christians, we have to know this, that power to do everything that we are called to do is around us at every given moment. You know, when I got to thinking about this, I got to thinking about atoms, and I even went to, of course, the atom bomb. You know, that was a nuclear, you know, we talk about nuclear bombs and how does it work? They take the, you know, they speed up the atoms and they start colliding or something like that. I looked up, atom bombs for dummies, I think it was. Literally, I was looking at it this morning, atom bombs for dummies. And even atom bombs for dummies or nuclear weapons for dummies, even that was like, I was like, man, I must be really dumb because I don't even understand the dummy part. But at any rate, you know, the basics of it is somehow they're speeding up. But atoms are the building blocks of life. They're so small. They're so tiny. They're almost like you can't see one with your eyes. But they're all around us. We're full of them. They're everywhere, right? But but they contain the ability, the potential for so much power that it can destroy a whole, of course, it's certain kind of atoms. I understand that and stuff like that. I understand that much. I'm not a complete idiot. But, the point is that there's power and there's ability even around us that we can't even see. And so that's the same way with the Holy Spirit. Though we can't always see him, though we always don't know that he's there specifically, we can know that the power is there. And if the power is there, then we have the ability to tap into it, especially if God gave us the Holy Spirit. So the question is, are we going to tap into it? Are we going to embrace the power of God? Or are we going to just, you know, see, what the mistake that Christians make is, They have a, you know, something go wrong in their life, and then they're like, well, where was the power? Well, the power was there. You just didn't tap into it. The ability to raise the dead is in every hospital room, in every hospital, in every city across the world. The ability, the power to raise the dead is there. The power to kill sickness is everywhere. The power to kill this pandemic is present with us all the time. So why aren't we walking in that? Why aren't we walking? And it's not just a matter of like, oh, I'm just going to, it's not like a light switch. You don't just flip it on and get to turn it on like that. There is a process of the way it goes. But the first place is recognizing that there's power and then desiring that we get into that power. But we have to be able to get there and we're not going to go there individually. That's the other thing. If you think you can access the power by yourself, you're wrong, because you're not going to. You have to be connected to a group of people going in the flow that God wants that group to go in. You have to be in that plan, because God's power is not found externally from his plan. It's found smack dab in the middle of his plan. Everything, the blessing of God, everything that he has for you, it's found in the plan. Amen. And so that's why we're going to be teaching about, giftings and stuff like that. And that's why we've been focusing so much on being in the plan. I know that it might not be as excited when you hear the power of God. Maybe you thought that I was, you know, all of a sudden, I don't know, I was going to stand up here and transform into some kind of, you know, power giant, spray lightning bolts out into the crowd or something like that. But that's not what we're talking about. Glory to God. We'll have plenty of that coming in upcoming services. Praise God. That's a promise. If we don't, it's your fault. So, see, that's a good preacher way of just getting out. I'm just kidding. Amen. Of course, we know that's a joke. Amen. Praise the Lord. But let's close with this. We're going to go to 1 John 2:27. Amen. Amen. One accord. That's right, sister. That's right. Praise God. One accord. Same direction. We're getting there. We're getting the kinks worked out. That's what we're doing. You know, there's actually a scripture that warns people about saying, where is the power of God? It does. It says, like, where is it? Like, where is it really? Like, things have gone on the way. What's that? That's right. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love it. Love it. But there's a scripture that warns us about saying, you know, like, where is it? Things have gone on forever this way. And it's just like, where's God? Where, and you hear that. Actually, you hear that in some people in media and stuff like that. But you wait and see. God isn't going to be put to shame. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We might as well get on the train. I'd rather be on the train than trying to run to catch up to it. Amen. You know, 1 John 2:27. Glory, hallelujah. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, when it talks about, the anointing which teaches you, that doesn't mean you don't have to be taught anything. That doesn't mean that we don't ever have to learn anything. That's not what it's saying at all. But he's talking about the ability to know God, the ability to know the Holy Spirit within us. He will teach us. The anointing is in us to teach us. And it's not always going to look the same. But we have to desire it. We have to want it. We have to recognize it. We have to say, this is the way that we're going to go. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so it's abiding. It's the abiding in him. And that's the key part. I mean, we focused on that from the beginning of the onset of this church. We focus on the abiding in the Lord, abiding in the Word, amen? And how important that is. Abiding is not just, you know, it's when the Word controls your life. It's when the Word changes your life. It's when the Word directs your life, not the outward circumstances, amen? Praise the Lord. And so as we go forward, we're just scratching the surface on the things that we're getting into. I know that the Lord has a lot more for us. It's going to be progressive steps, but I'm telling you what, as I look around and I do this, I know the Bible says that you can judge a tree by its fruit. So I judge a tree by its fruit. I look at the fruit in this place and I see lives that have changed. I see lives that are different. Just as I looked at my own life and I said, just as much as a miracle as my life is, I see the miracle working in some of your lives. I should say all your lives as well. There's more examples of it, but we have to look for the small things. We have to look for the minute things because the power of God is not just in big fireworks. You know, we don't have 4th of July every day, right? We have it once a year. I know they try to incorporate fireworks into everything, but everybody really looks for the 4th of July, you know? So the same thing is with God. There's fireworks that happen, but they're not every day. We got to see God in the day-to-day. We got to see the Holy Ghost, the power of God, every single day. We have to look for it, recognize it. And if we're having a hard time, go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to recognize your ability, your power in today. Praise the Lord, because you're going to start seeing it. You'll start seeing it more and more if you're somebody who's faithful to go after it. Amen?